Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
Welcome to the State of the Race. It is Tuesday, November 5th. Today is Election Day. Couple things I want to give you today. Number one, we're going to go through the final update of the PulseCast, which is our summary of all mainstream reporters, data experts, prediction markets, polling averages, all that stuff, election models, all the things. Then we're going to give you my final predictions for the 2024 presidential election and the Senate. Let's get right into it. Today, with the PulseCast, the final update, you can go to glenbeck.com/PulseCast and see all of this. It is a close race, as you might know. We saw a drop in the prediction markets for Donald Trump that wound up rebounding a little bit. Some of the later polls came in and wound up affecting the averages a little bit in the favor of Kamala Harris. At the end of the day, the final PulseCast, and this is incredible because I put a lot of work into this stupid thing. We spent a lot of time updating it and designing it and building it at the beginning. Dozens and dozens of hours spent on this project. And what does it tell us? That Donald Trump has a 50.24% chance of winning the election. Absolutely incredible. You couldn't have designed it more perfectly to give us the answer of who the hell knows what's about to happen tonight. 50.24% chance to win for Donald Trump. And again, that's a summary of the data. It's not my prediction. I'll give you that in a second. But it just shows that for whatever reason, there's accusations of polling hurting. We're seeing accusations of, you know, wild outlier polls in places like Iowa. At the end of the day, basically, this is a coin flip election. And for the nerds out there who know this, technically, your chances of winning a coin flip are 50.5%, which is, it's not exactly 50, it's 50.5. So actually, the PulseCast, with all of the work that went into it, came out as less certain than a coin flip. So there you go, boys and girls. We did it. All right. Well, it's just to tell you that it's a close election, and that's what I found going through my predictions. I want to give you these, and we'll go through them quickly. I won't go through all the blowout states, the solid states, but I can tell you we start from a starting place of Democrats with 167 electoral votes and Republicans with 93 electoral votes. So Democrats start out with this big lead. And that's, of course, because of states like California, New York, and Illinois. There's kind of a big state advantage for Democrats early on. These are states that will get called almost immediately as we go through the election coverage tonight on blazeelection.com/stew. Promo code, by the way, is 47. You can save 47 bucks on your subscription. We're going to do election coverage all throughout the evening, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, all the way probably till, I don't know, 1 or 2 a.m., as long as we can go. And then we will go live on youtube.com/stewdoesamerica. We also will have a live election Q&A happening. If you get this, go check it out, and we'll take your questions on the election. Okay, so let's go for the likely Democratic states, states that are not a sure thing, but probably leaning pretty hard towards the Democrats. And we will get 2 electoral votes for the state of Maine, 10 for the state of Colorado, Minnesota. We'll get 10, and I keep thinking this, but I really would love the Democrats to lose this election because Tim Walz lost Minnesota. That's not an election analysis. That's just what I want to happen. I want it to be Tim Walz's fault specifically. But anyway, 10 for Minnesota, 14 for New Jersey. That gets 36 in the column, likely Democratic electoral votes. Then over to the Republican side. How many likely electoral votes do you get for Republicans? Well, you get 4 in Montana, 6 in Kansas. Even though the Democrats have these outlying expectations, maybe they can be competitive there. I don't think they will win that state. 9 in South Carolina, 10 electoral votes in Missouri, and 17 in Ohio. Used to be the biggest swing state in 2004. Not really there anymore, though we do have a close senatorial election. We'll get into that in a second. But that gives you 46 likely Republican electoral votes. Now, you might note that the Republicans are pretty far behind. see if they can make up some of the gap here. We go to now lean Democratic states. Lean Democratic states, we have, well, actually, it's not even a state. It's in a congressional district. Nebraska Congressional District 2 will give one electoral vote to the Democrats. New Hampshire is polling closer than you might think. However, I'm going to give those four to the Democrats. New Mexico, kind of the same story, a little closer than you might expect from New Mexico, but five electoral votes go to Kamala Harris. Virginia, this is a state that have high hopes for a lot of people on the Republican side. Can they pull off a Virginia victory? I think it's going to be close, but I'm going to say no, and 13 electoral votes go over to Kamala Harris. That of that particular group, they've got five, that's 10, 23 electoral votes going to Kamala Harris. On the Republican side, these are leaning Republican states. We'll have some toss-ups that we'll put into each column here in just a moment. First, Maine Congressional District 2, one electoral vote goes to Donald Trump. Alaska, three electoral votes goes to Donald Trump. Iowa, you saw this as a controversial thing over the weekend. We did a full breakdown of this on Studios America last night, but the poll that showed Kamala Harris ahead, I don't think she's going to win that state. And we go a leaning Republican state for Iowa and six electoral votes. The same goes for Florida, 30 electoral votes. And there has been some close polling there, I'll be honest, closer than you would have thought. But 30 electoral votes go to Donald Trump. And Texas brings 40 electoral votes, even though, again, a closer state than you'd like if you happen to be a Republican or a Donald Trump supporter. But 40 electoral votes go to Donald Trump there. So that gives you, let's see, 1, 3, 4, 10, 40, 80 electoral votes there on the leaner category, which leaves our seven swing states. And this is really where the election will be fought and decided. At least that's what we believe going in. Right now, the electoral vote count is 226 for Kamala Harris and 219 for Donald Trump. There are seven swing states. We start with Georgia. Georgia has 16 electoral votes. And the 16 electoral votes go to Donald Trump, in my prediction. He's been ahead in the polling, even though it's been small. It's been consistent. I still think the fundamentals of the state are red. The same thing goes for our next swing state, North Carolina. Again, slight lead in North Carolina for Donald Trump. 16 electoral votes, though, goes there. I think both of those states will be close. If you want an indication that Kamala Harris is going to win this election, and it's going to be on the early side, you'd see it happening in Georgia or North Carolina. If Trump doesn't win both of those states, he's got an uphill battle, a significant uphill battle. We go and stay in the South here for a moment. Arizona, 11 electoral votes. That goes to Donald Trump. So Donald Trump takes Georgia, North Carolina, and Arizona. The other southern state that we're going to, I'm kind of looking in these two belts. You have the Rust Belt states and sort of the Sun Belt states. Nevada, I went back and forth on this a bunch of times. And honestly, like when you talk about the best polling Donald Trump had when Joe Biden was still in the race, I think the best state he was in, as far as a swing state goes, was Nevada. However, Kamala Harris has turned that around, has made the state very, very close. And I wound up landing on Kamala Harris winning the state of Nevada. Six electoral votes go her way. Now let's go up to Michigan. Michigan, 15 electoral votes. This is a state, of course, with Democratic leadership. There's been some electoral changes there. Another thing that people aren't talking all that much about is that RFK Jr. was not able to get his name off the ballot. He's still getting 3% in the polls in Michigan. This is a problem, obviously, for Trump, who would get most of the RFK Jr. supporters. End of the day, I give these 15 electoral votes to Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris. Okay. Finally, we've got two more states to go. Wisconsin. This is one I went back and forth on over and over and over again. Wisconsin is another state, the other big state that has RFK Jr. on the ballot. I think that is going to be a problem at some level, taking away votes from Donald Trump. He was not able to get himself off the ballot. Also, Wisconsin, of course, kind of the birthplace of progressivism. This was a state that I found it very difficult to believe Donald Trump could really compete in previous elections. However, he was able to do that. And if there is any state where it has been shown over and over again that Donald Trump outperforms his polls, the biggest errors have been in the state of Wisconsin. And honestly, all of these swing states were kind of at a place where I'd rather just not predict them. I'd rather just sit back and say, I don't know, question mark, shoulder shrug emoji, and move on. But at the end of the day, we got to put them in a column. So you go by vibes a little bit. You go by past performance. You try to figure this out. I went back and forth on this, initially had it in Kamala Harris's column, but wound up settling with Donald Trump winning Wisconsin with 10 electoral votes. And finally, the big prize, the one everyone has been talking about forever, 19 electoral votes for Pennsylvania. This is a tough one. It's not going to be an easy victory, I don't think, for either side. I am again at the point where I could see this state going either way. I would not be betting on this prediction of mine. I want to express my pessimistic optimism here because I am going to give this state to Donald Trump. 19 electoral votes go to Trump. And that is a big, big win for Trump. I think, you know, as a guy, a candidate who is running and was literally shot in a field in this state, you have that going on. You have a little bit of a different demographic breakdown than a state like Michigan. I think Donald Trump will win Pennsylvania, but again, it's going to be very, very close. So what does that mean? Well, it means the Democrats have 167 solid electoral votes, 36 likely electoral votes, 44 that lean their way, for a total of 247 electoral votes for Kamala Harris. For Donald Trump, 93 solid electoral votes, 46 likely electoral votes, 152 leaning the Republican way, for a grand total of 291 electoral votes for Donald Trump. This is, of course, above the 270 to win margin, and Donald Trump will become the next president of the United States if this prediction is accurate. I will say my confidence level is low. I think it's the right way. I think the fundamentals bring him through. I think there is we're in a period now with Democrats where they are doing everything they can to fake it to make it. And when you do that, I think they have to act enthusiastic. They have to act like Kamala Harris is a great candidate. They have to act like Donald Trump is Hitler. But all of this isn't true, and they know it's not true. And after the election, though, we'll all fall back and say, well, we all knew Kamala Harris wasn't a good candidate. Of course Donald Trump won. That's kind of what I think. I think there's a hollow support for Kamala Harris. I think the polls will probably be closer than they were in 2020 and 2016. But the error toward Trump has been, you know, the two for two on that one. And when you're in a period like this, where I think the uncertainty level is high, you kind of have to try to connect to some central reasoning here. And the Democrats have their path as well to try to say that they're winning. But this is what I'm going to land on: 291, 247 for Donald Trump. Okay, we're going to switch over to the Senate. The Senate, of course, is key as well. And we will give you kind of a quick breakdown of the Senate here on an election day state of the race. The Senate starts with a scoreboard that is already locked in stone. 38 Republican seats are not up for election. 28 Democratic seats are not up for election. So we start with Republicans leading by 10, 38 to 28. There's nothing tonight that can change that fact. There are a bunch of states that are likely going to go Democrat, though. I'll give them to you quickly. Here are the seats: California, Delaware, Connecticut, Hawaii, Massachusetts with Elizabeth Warren, Minnesota with Klobuchar, New York, Rhode Island, Vermont is Bernie Sanders, and Washington. That gets you to 38 total for the Democrats. Republicans start with 38, and they have some likely Republican seats as well. Ricketts in Nebraska, Wyoming, Mississippi, North Dakota, Utah, West Virginia, Indiana, and Tennessee. 8 likely seats for Republicans gets them to 46. So right now, before we go into any leaners or toss-ups, we are at 46 Republicans versus 38 Democrats. Now on the Democratic side, we're, as far as leaners, we have New Jersey, New Mexico, Virginia, that's Tim Kaine, Maine, who is actually technically an independent, Angus King, and Maryland, which is an interesting race in that Larry Hogan, the popular governor, is there, but I don't think he's going to wind up winning that race, though it'll be closer than probably a lot of other Republicans would have done. That's five leaners, and that brings you to 43 seats for the Democrats. On the Republican side, we've got a couple leaners there as well. Missouri with Josh Hawley, he should win there. And Montana with John Tester. That's a couple of seats that are going to lean Republican. That gets the Republicans to 48 seats. Now, we got a bunch of toss-ups. I'm going to throw them out here real quick, and then we'll go through them. Arizona, Nevada, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Texas, Florida, and that quirky second race in Nebraska. Arizona is Kari Lake going up against Ruben Gallego. Lake has really closed the polling gap here. She was behind by 8-10 points a few weeks ago. Really narrowed that to 3 or 4. However, I don't think it's going to be quite enough. I think that one will go to the Democrats. Texas, Ted Cruz. Had him on radio this morning. Look, it's just hard for me to believe the Democrats are going to succeed in this ridiculous effort to get Colin Allred elected in Texas. It's still a red state. I think Texas holds strong, and Ted Cruz is going to the Republicans. Nevada is Jackie Rosen, Sam Brown. Brown has never really been able to make this a particularly close race, I think the presidential race might be. It's just never really been able to get over that hump with Nevada over to the Democrats. Florida, Rick Scott, you'd think that Florida is going to be an easy one for Republicans. So far, has proven to be much closer than expected. However, Florida, I think Rick Scott, they hold it probably by more than these polls are showing. I think more than 3 points he'll win that race by. Now over to Michigan. Rogers in Michigan. Again, it's going to be a close race. I think just the structure of Michigan right now is a real problem for Republicans. Gretchen Whitmer did everything she could to make sure that voting was as easy as possible for her side of the aisle. And that is going to, I think, pay some dividends for the Democrats. Michigan goes to the Democrats. Wisconsin. This one I went back and forth a lot on. Tammy Baldwin is not a particularly solid and candidate, not a strong candidate. Eric Hovde, I think, has run a pretty good race. It's been very, very close. If you look at Republican-leaning pollsters, I think if you just looked at them, I think I'd pick Eric Hovde in this race. However, when I look overall, I go back and forth on it, and this is one Wisconsin was probably the most difficult, state to look at for me, honestly, in this entire race. I wound up giving this one to the Democrats. Over to Pennsylvania, another close race. Another one that I feel like, sometimes these states, and this is the case in several states, this happens a lot. It's a reason why people pick familiar names, famous names, names with legacies in the states. This is something they just, politicians do this all the time. And they do it because it kind of gets you over the very early hump. If you have, I think this is an issue with Tester in Montana, we'll get to in a minute. Because he's just well-known in the state and, maybe can pull it off. Sherrod Brown in Ohio is another one we'll get to. In Pennsylvania, I think Bob Casey and the Casey family name probably gets them over the final finish line, barely over McCormick. McCormick deserves to be in the Senate. He should have been the nominee back in 2020. Was it 2022? I'm getting confused on my years yet. But yeah, when he went up against Fetterman, it was 22. He did not. He just lost, really narrowly lost that primary to Dr. Oz, who then lost pretty handily. But I don't think he's going to be able to get across the finish line here. That one is another one I went back and forth on several times. Okay, we have three more states left. Montana, John Tester, as I mentioned, going up against Tim Sheehy. Sheehy has been leading in the polls for a while yet. This is a state that's going to go to Donald Trump by probably low to mid teens, right? 13, 15, 16 points to Donald Trump. Even though Tester has a lot to push back against that and will be much closer than the presidential race, that seat goes to the Republicans. Ohio. One of the most interesting races out there. Sherrod Brown has been strong in Ohio for a while. He's one of these people that, people in Ohio think of him as, he's a normal Democrat. He's okay. And then when you look at his voting record, actually, he looks a lot like AOC. Really, there's not much of a difference at all. However, I think Bernie Moreno will be able to get over the finish line here. And I don't know that I would have said that a month or two ago. I think Moreno will win this race. Trump will help pull him over the finish line. Vance will help pull him over the finish line in Ohio. And Bernie Moreno will be a Republican senator, leaving us with one more race. This is the Nebraska quirky race we talked about. This is Deb Fischer, the Republican, going up against Dan Osborne, the independent. And normally, I think you'd say, well, you know, this is a tough one because it's an independent and, you know, I don't know, how are people in Nebraska going to react to this? This is how I started this whole situation, you know, months ago, saying, hey, guys, this is like a toss-up race right now. We cannot let this one slide. My thesis was if people woke up in Nebraska and realized that Osborne is not an independent, he is a Democrat. He's getting millions and millions of dollars in funding from Democratic groups, from George Soros-related groups. And at the end of the day, Nebraska will wake up and get this seat to Deb Fischer, even though they might not really be in love with Deb Fischer overall. That is where I landed at the end of the day. I think Nebraska will bring this one home, and it will go to Deb Fischer. She will hold the seat and turn back this new Democratic tactic of trying to run independents that are actually Democrats. They've tried it in multiple states. Hasn't worked yet, but this one's going to come pretty darn close. Okay, so final breakdown. Republicans have 38 solid seats. 8 likely Republican seats and 6 that lean towards Republicans, total of 52 seats in the Senate. Democrats 28 solid, 10 likely, and 10 leaning Democrat for 48. So a 52-48 is my final breakdown. Again, a lot of these seats are really close. I think Republicans will get the Senate. They should. They have, you know, a lot of these models have it broken down at 70 and 80% chance of them winning. They could blow this, though. It's definitely possible for them to blow it. But unless a shocker happens in a place like Texas or Florida, they should be able to hold on and win the Senate. So there you go. I mean, I don't have a seat-by-seat breakdown of the House with a prediction. My internal vibes lean is a slight to moderate Democratic victory in the House. I hate to say that. I don't want that to happen. But I think there's a good chance that it does. I think maybe some of these New York seats that Republicans won go back the opposite way. We will see on that one tonight. Join us for our election coverage, blazeelection.com/stew. Blazeelection.com/stew. Use the code 47 and you will get $47 off your subscription. We're going to go as long as we can tonight, as long as my voice will hold up. And then we'll go to YouTube, youtube.com/stewdoesamerica after the Blaze election coverage. And we'll take you into more detail and go as long as we possibly can. That's our evening. That's my life tonight. I pray for the country. I hope things can turn out okay. I hope we can all be have voices and not be wildly hungover for bad reasons. Hopefully we're hungover for good ones tomorrow. Okay, thanks for listening to State of the Race and all these episodes. We kind of started this project a while ago as just kind of a lark of like, hey, let's do some extra content, see if people like it. And you have supported it and been here for every episode of this as we've added the bonus pod. I think maybe we'll do a couple more if there's enough to pull us through here and breaking down the elections. Maybe we'll do some additional stuff here when it comes to State of the Race. But thank you so much for taking the time and joining us for all these extra podcasts over the past few months. Go out and vote. Good luck to all the good guys on Election Day. We'll see you soon.